from the Disciples with Microphones Podcast Network.
And from the Crystal's Vincent Network.
Who can tell me, what's 9 times 9?
81.
Correct. And can anyone tell me what episode number this is?
81.
Bitchin' Anywhere!
Anywhere!
Episode number 81!
Anywhere!
And now, here's the snark of snarks!
Anywhere!
Brian, Michael, Paige!
Anywhere! Anywhere!
Let's journey. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Mago sum brianis micaelis pagina. Today is Monday, May 14th, 2007. We are in the sixth week of Easter, and this is episode number 81. Yes, the square of 9. 3 to the 4th power. Hey, Ascension's coming up, and I know there are quite a few dioceses that are celebrating the Ascension next Sunday, but guess what? Up here in the eastern part of the states, we still celebrate Ascension on the Thursday, and yes, it is still a holy day of obligation here in New England, and several other U.S. dioceses in the eastern part of the country as well. This means we'll have a couple of masses this Thursday at Holy Ghost, one at 7 a.m. and one at 7 p.m., and the choir will be on hand for the 7 p.m. mass that evening. I was going to do this cast a couple of weeks ago, but figured, nah, let's finish off the Many Moods series first. So, we're going to discuss this week the organ and congregational singing at the funeral mass. Do people in the pew actually sing at funerals? Should they sing? But first, here are them jungle screechers.
Feast of the week! Feast of the week!
Thank you, jungle screechers! What'd he say?
He said, Pale-faced angel host got screws loose.
Oh, thank you. Anyways, this week, the sixth week of Easter. Let's check this out. We got 3 saints' days this week and 1 holy day of obligation. So, Monday, a feast, Saint Matthias. Tuesday, optional memorial, Saint Isidore the Farmer. Wednesday's a feria, a paschal feria. Thursday, in the Diocese of Providence, and in many other eastern United States dioceses, the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, a holy day of obligation. In the rest of the country, just a paschal feria, as the Ascension in these parts will be moved to the following Sunday. Friday, optional memorial, Pope St. John the First. And Saturday, a paschal feria. Don't forget to check out the New Advent website, www.newadvent.org. for great stories on these and other great saints.
Christos Vincit semi-live on I-195.
Hey there. Brianis Michaelis Pagina here semi-live on I-195. Before we start, let's set the cruise control to 70 miles an hour. 67, 68, 69, oh. Yeah, let's slow down a little bit here. Up 70 miles an hour. Well, the reason you're stuck with me today is that Seamus is laid up once again, so I have to drive. Here's the event that led Seamus into a little bit of trouble.
Hey, I can't see through this tunnel!
And he's having a heck of a time trying to get that rocket-powered scooter of his replaced. He's right now trying to pull some strings with that Schleppwood Scooter Society. All I can say is, good luck. Well, we're in for an action-packed weekend this weekend. We've had a couple of different things going on. Plus, within it all, it's the sixth Sunday of Easter. The Saturday Mass was followed by a May procession. And the 10:30 Mass on Sunday was our first communion mass. So let's start with, okay, our opening hymn for 3 of the masses, the 4:30, the 7:30, and the 9. was this. Just heard Come Holy Ghost, Catholic classic. Text is from the Latin Veni Creator Spiritus by Rabinus Marus, translated by Edward Caswell in the 19th century. The tune was also written in the 19th century by a French Jesuit named Louis Lambalot. The opening hymn for the 10:30 Mass, the First Communion Mass, was I Am the Bread of Life. Now, the Gloria was the Latin chant Gloria from Mass 8 for all the Masses except for the 10:30. The 10:30 we did Mass of the Bells. The Psalm and Alleluia were the same for all the Masses. Psalm 67 with the antiphon, O God, let all the nations praise you. And that's the Psalm tone 8G. The Alleluia from O Filii et Filii with the verse to Psalm tone 2. The offertory for all the Masses except for the 10:30 was God We Praise You, the early American tune that we taught the people of Holy Ghost last week. And here is our offertory for the 10:30.
Thank you.
Now that recording itself was from a previous weekend, one of the non-choir masses, but that was the 10:30 offertory at the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. The text comes from the 4th century Latin Ad Regias Agnitapes, translated by Robert Campbell. The tune, Salzburg, written by Jakob Hintze, harmony later on by Johann Sebastian Bach. Now the song Ordinary of the Mass during the Liturgy of the Eucharist, same for all the Masses, that is the Sanctus, Memorial Acclamation, Amen, and Agnus Dei for Mass of the Bells, and the Lord's Prayer, the chant setting in English. And now here's our communion. Breathe on me, O breath of God. That was our communion hymn for the 4:30 on Saturday and the first two masses of Sunday. Text by Edwin Hatch in the tune, Irish tune called St. Columba. Now, the 10:30 for First Communion was Lord, who at thy first Eucharist did pray. Text by William Turton and the tune Unde et Memores by William Henry Monk. The Marian meditation for most of the weekend was Ave Maria / As I Kneel Before You by Maria Parkinson. Well, here's how it was put to use. For the 7:30 and 9 o'clock, it was basically the meditation after communion. At the 10:30 Mass, the First Communion Mass, there was a crowning of Mary after the post-communion prayer. Now, we closed off the 4:30 Mass with a May procession. So, we had the rosary, and in between each one, there was a verse done to the Fatima Ave, which is it's about Mary's appearance to the children of Fatima on the 13th of May. Once we got in, we finished off the rosary, and we closed off with the As I Kneel Before You. The 7:30 and 9 o'clock Mass ended with this hymn. There you just heard verse 1 of Alleluia Sing to Jesus. Text by William Chatteron Dix. Tune Hyperdoll by Roland Hugh Pritchard. Yeah, that was one of last year's low bitrate recordings. Basically because I didn't get to record that one yet for this year on the new recorder. And that was the closing for the 7:30 and the 9 o'clock. Now finally, the closing for the First Communion Mass. It's O Sacrament Most Holy, that's the O Jesus We Adore Thee text, by Erwin Udeluch, a Capuchin Franciscan. And we use the traditional tune, Non Dignus. We will be back. Don't touch that mouse.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Bill Thierfelder, president of Belmont Abbey College, father of 10, two-time All-American, national champion, NCAA Division I coach, sports performance consultant to the pros, and your host of the Playing with Fire podcast. Please join me each week to learn how your faith and the practice of virtue can lead to world-class performance. Learn how pro athletes live a faith-filled life and use sport as a means for developing virtue while competing at the highest levels. Interviews, practical detailed sports performance tips, great music, and much more. So join me at ReclaimTheGame.com for the Playing with Fire podcast.
And now for a miscellaneous outburst.
Hello there, Seamus here.
Okay, I'm not asking you to sing at my funeral, despite what the title of today's show is asking. At least not as a solo. The last thing I would want is that man that Thomas Day described as Mr. Caruso in his classic book, Why Catholics Can't Sing, to be bellowing out the greatest hits of those classic Glory and Praise volumes. I've been to many a funeral and played many a funeral where nobody sings. There are many reasons for that. Now, some won't even sing on a Sunday, so how the heck are you going to get them to sing at a funeral? And for some, they're so distraught they're just simply not up to singing, which is perfectly understandable. I, for one, will not force a grieving family to sing at the funeral of their loved one. It's probably the last thing I would expect. But what about those friends and neighbors in attendance who are in somewhat stronger spirits? You know, the ones who take up the pews behind the immediate family? Or what about those who represent the parish bereavement committee? I actually worked for a parish that had one of them. A couple of representatives from the bereavement committee will minister to the family. They'll offer prayer. They'll even attend the wake and the funeral mass. And then there's the professional mourner. Usually sits towards the back, but has nothing better to do than attend 3 to 4 funeral masses a week. Some of those people actually sing. Well, not all of them, but a good chunk of them. Some of them nice and loud, especially those in a religious order, nuns, brothers, etc. Now again, I don't expect a congregation to sing out loud at a funeral mass, but we as musicians should at least encourage. If we've done at least that, we've done our job. Even if they're just not up to singing, you still have to invite them. If it's not one of those funerals where we're hammered with requests from the greatest hits variety, then I will announce the hymns that are in our pew books, an invitation to sing. Now, I'm not saying any old hymn from the parish repertoire, but stuff from the parish repertoire that is fitting for the funeral mass. I know, we really should be using propers. However, we're still stuck at this point in an age where the hymn seems to prevail. So that's what it is. Now, except for during Lent, I tend to open the funeral mass with something like For All the Saints. My pastor often cites it in his preaching at funerals. The psalm must be from the lectionary for mass, for the masses of the dead. Shepherd me, O God, and eagle's wings don't cut it. At communion, I tend to use Keep in Mind. Hymns of the Resurrection work well also. At the Lamb's High Feast we sing. Sing with all the sons of glory. Crown him with many crowns, etc. Now the recessional must be the In Paradisum, or translation thereof. The funeral mass calls for it. The priest and casket head out the door almost once the recessional starts. So you won't get any singing from the people there no matter what. Go ahead, use the chant. Now the other thing is a soloist. As much as I may welcome soloists from the outside, I don't exactly encourage it. I'll accommodate if they should have to come. Most of them just want to put on a show of their own or do a favor for the family. It does absolutely nothing in terms of getting the people in the pew to sing. If you must have a cantor in addition to the organist, it is best that you have one within the parish, especially one who's experienced, either in cantoring or at least with the choir. They'll know firsthand what their congregation will sing if they're up to it. And they can lead right from the music area, near the organ. They don't need to be up front at a pulpit, flapping their arms like birds. You know those birds on the Flintstones that do business as Pterodactyl Airlines? Yeah, those kind of arm flaps. And for you people in the pew who want to sing, but don't because you're afraid of getting a bad look from other people around you, be not afraid to sing out. Let your neighbors give you a dirty look. You're the better person for taking your part at Mass. Finally, for you organists, I've seen so many a funeral where, just because it's a funeral, they'll cut their registrations to nothing more than 8 and 4 foot stops for the manuals. The 4 foot stop usually nothing brighter than a flute. No string, no principal, no octave, no prestant. For hymns like For All the Saints and sung ordinaries like the Sanctus and Alleluia, don't be afraid to whip out that 2 foot stop. Don't be afraid to whip out that gorgeous four rank chorus mixture. Your congregation is not going to sing when they're hearing nothing but an 8 and 4 foot flute combination or an 8 foot vox celeste. You need to support the singing. You can't enforce it, but you can encourage it. Invite them. Be prepared in case it happens. When it comes to singing at a funeral mass, I tend to treat all matters music just like it's a Sunday. I don't let up just because it's a funeral. Even if your people don't sing, we need to lead by example. And now for something joyful, sorrowful, and glorious, all in one sweeping blow, here is Paul Lisney. Thank you. And that was Paul Lisney. Nice little instrumental there. Joyful, Sorrowful, and Glorious. Yes, the original three mysteries of the Holy Rosary. As Our Lady told the children of Fatima, we should be praying the Rosary each day. By the way, you know there's now a fourth mystery, the Luminous Mysteries. Pray the Rosary daily. Joyful, Sorrowful, and Glorious. And now Luminous. Paul Lisney rhymes with Disney, courtesy of podsafemusic.podshow.com. And don't forget to check out Paul's site. We'll have the link in the show notes. And we'll be back.
Welcome to the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. www.ipadre.net.
Now with Chantcast. And now for a miscellaneous outburst.
And a eulogy, a celebrity roast began?
Correct. These two ladies were so bad.
How bad were they?
They constantly rambled on how one thought the other had too much to drink.
I have in my right hand today's Crystal's Vinci Top 10 list.
Top 10.
Brought to you by Hell, It's Hot. Today's Crystal's Vinci Top 10 list, the top 10 least popular music ministry ensembles. Man, if you've seen one, you've seen them all, but these are totally unique. Top 10 least popular music ministry ensembles from the home office somewhere in Rhode Island. Here we go. Number 10, three guitars, a baby, and a mother who changes her diaper right in front of everyone. Thomas Day actually tells of that incident on Why Catholics Can't Sing. Number 9, two guitars, a kazoo, and an alley cat. Number 8, three guitars and the dogs that howl jingle bells every Christmas. Number 7, two guitars, a whistle, and the Providence Dancing Cop. Number 6, three guitars, a banjo, and a washboard. Number 5, it's that new pop sensation, tenors with Tourette's. Number 4, coming out of retirement since the Gong Show last aired, accordionist with Alzheimer's. Number 3, two guitars, a bass, and a drum kit made of metal garbage cans. Number 2, three guitars, a kazoo, and a Jaws harp. And the number 1 least popular music ministry ensemble, the Neverland Liturgical Dance Troupe. Crystal's Vintage.
Ready, music, and fun. That's us.
Ego sum prianis mihi alis pagina, et hoc verbo ascripto. I'm Brian Michael Page, and I approve this message.
Get the two podcast alley, or go to dig.com. Old Crystal's Vintage anywhere, says that snark with the facial hair. So let's vote for our podcast. If we don't win, that's okay. For it's one quick click of your mouse, vote for us today.
Hey, Brian Michael Page from Crystal's Mention Anywhere. Don't forget to give us that vote at Podcast Alley or go to dig.com and give us your dig. It's quick and easy and one or two easy steps. Also, don't forget to leave us some feedback at the message boards.
For it's one quick click of your mouse vote for us today.
And while you're at it, please don't forget our friends over at
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization. Bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bishoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Noe from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Loris, and welcome to Going Four. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for Purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Also, don't forget to go to vote at the Blogger's Choice Awards. Christos Vincit, the blog, is running in the Best Religion Blog category. Christos Vincit Anywhere is running in the Best Podcast category. Now, definitely not expecting to win on either one, but definitely out to make a mark. Okay. BloggersChoiceAwards.com. And the awards will be awarded on June 2nd. I have got some great news to share. Anybody remember our teen trumpeter from last Christmas? Anywho. Yep, that teen trumpeter, 18-year-old Nick Fleming, he was our trumpeter from last Christmas, has just been accepted by our bishop, Bishop Thomas J. Tobin, to enter the seminary for the Diocese of Providence. Nick is the first man to enter the seminary from Holy Ghost Parish in its 94-year history. I want to thank you all for joining me today. Tune in again next week for another hair-raising episode of Christos Vincit Anywhere. Until then, I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace. Christos Vincit is a member of Disciples with Microphones, the B-Team, Ratzinger's Rottweilers, and the Christos Vincit Network.